numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However, you're taking us in, we appreciate it all proudly. And I do mean proudly because I've spoken to them. Proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. We're proud to have them aboard. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. You know what we didn't mention on this Open Championship leaderboard, Jeff? Lurking six back. A couple people on Twitter, James Spivey among them, letting us know. Don't forget Jason's 500-1 shot or whatever it was. the great Thurston Lawrence from South Africa. Six back, 4 under for the tournament. Could it happen?
He's currently in the more winnable bet for Jason here. Lawrence is second among South Africans in this tournament so far. Only Garrick Higo in front of him. By the way, I thought you were going to say, Gil, I thought you were going to say that the big news in this tournament is that John Daly is on pace to make the cut right now.
Yeah, man. John Daly trying to make the weekend. Projected cut right now?
Still looking at even, but even. I have a hard time envisioning that that's going to stay at even. I think it could go one under, Gil.
It could very well. Could very well, but right now, even is the projected cut. If only we had Jason Weingarten here now to talk to. Oh, we do. Jason Weingarten, ladies and gentlemen, the host of The Wide World of Weingarten, from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California, at Spreadopedia. How you doing, Jason? Thoughts of Thurston getting there? You think it could happen?
Do I think it could happen? I mean, anything can happen, but you have to get on his horse and really move up that leaderboard tomorrow.
He would have to get on the horse, the proverbial horse. What else do you have here besides remind us what you have here at the Open Championship?
Thurston Lawrence is my biggest bet just because, you know, the odds were so enormous. I got some Thagala. Can't quit him.
Can't quit Saheed Thagala. That's right.
A little bit of Dustin Johnson. Not enough to fly me private to New York this weekend or anything, but enough to get me excited.
You too are headed for vacation after the show today, right? You're headed to New York.
I'm wearing my vacation shirt because I'm leaving right after this.
That's right. Hope your flight didn't get delayed like mine. Goodness gracious. Okay, so you do have some DJ as well. I forgot you like betting those live golfers. DJ. That would be awkward, wouldn't it, for golf if DJ won it?
Would be a little up there on the stage. I don't know. Everyone would be a little weird.
Very Pete Rozelle, Al Davis-ish back in the day kind of thing. By the way, we have some baseball things we want to throw at you, but before we get to those, what are your baseball plays of the day? What have you made so far?
I bet the Tigers over 8. Looks like that's moved to 8.5. I gave that out on the podcast that came out yesterday. Giants Brewers over 7. I like that. Still get it at -115 on the over.
All right, a couple plays today for on the slate for Jason Weingarten. Now, Jeff was just looking at William Hill, and they put out a prop. We had a whole baseball thing last segment, but we just noticed they put out a prop for both leagues on a team to get the last wild card.
That's how I read this prop. It says last in quotes, third NL wild card. So that is
that's what it is.
The sixth seed overall, the third wild card. I'll just throw the National League at you first here, Jason.
Please.
The St. Louis Cardinals, your current betting favorite there at +250. The Phillies at +350. The Padres at 4-1. The Giants at 5-1. The Brewers at 9-1. And I'll cut it off with Miami at 14-1.
Miami at 14-1 is the one I'd look at here because they just called up Max Meyer making his first start tomorrow. I mean, they got a really good rotation. That's it's almost enough to pitch them into a wild card spot if they catch a couple breaks in the second half. Definitely enough to get my attention at 14-1. But the other ones, I don't know. Are there any other really big long shots? But beyond that, beyond the 14-1,
so teams that are in realistic playoff contention. The Braves are at 18. The Mets are at 20. And then it's the Diamondbacks are at 50. I guess they're technically alive if you really wanted to go nuts.
Yeah, the Dodgers wouldn't go that far.
The Dodgers are 150-1 to fall all the way to the sixth.
No, but the interesting ones were the ones where you said they could fall back into that spot, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Mets and the
Braves. The Mets and the Braves were the most interesting ones, yep.
That's what I was thinking, Mets and Braves. You know, somebody's going to end up, you know, on the outside there in the NL East. It's, you know, whole half a season left.
The thing about the Marlins, though, just to sort of like check the standings right now as we head into the All-Star break this weekend, the Marlins, if I'm reading this correctly, are only one game back in the loss column of the current number three. Is that right? So I think that's obviously there's other teams in that mix, right? The Giants are in the mix, the Phillies are in the mix, but right now the number three wild card team would be the St. Louis Cardinals. They have 44 losses. The Marlins only have 45 losses. So
yeah,
what's the number?
And they're calling up their best pitcher.
Yeah, and they're calling up their best pitcher. What's the number again on the Marlins, Jeff?
The Miami Marlins are 14-1 to be the third wild card.
All right, same exercise, American League. What do you
Yes, Gil, I think this one might catch your attention here because I got to read a lot more teams on this side.
Orioles.
The favorite in this market, Tampa, +350. The Mariners at 4-1. The Red Sox at +450, the Twins at 6-1, the Blue Jays at 6-1, the White Sox at 8-1, the Guardians at 14-1, and then the Rangers and the Orioles both at 22-1. I think I know where your head's at now, Gil.
Well, I'm just saying, literally, there's only three teams, Tigers, Royals, and Athletics, that are not part of this discussion. Everybody
else. If you want the Angels, they're 40-1 if you want to take the long shot.
40-1?
On the Angels, yes.
All right, right now the number three, just to sort of set the parameters, right now the number three wild card team would be the Red Sox and Blue Jays in a tie. Red Sox and Blue Jays would be in a tie for the third right now, both at 47 and 43. So just think about that. Twins, just take the 43 losses. Twins have one fewer loss than that. Guardians and Orioles have one more loss than that. Mariners have one. Mariners are in order. Mariners have one fewer than that. White Sox have two more losses than that. Rangers have three. I mean, it's a complete scrum. What do you got, Jason?
You know, that Baltimore price, I think you should shop around for a Baltimore to make the playoff. I guess it's the same thing technically, but somehow they get the second wild card or something. You don't want to lose that bet. You could still get probably 20-1 on them just to make the playoffs.
A better bet,
But beyond that, I don't know. I mean, I guess the Rangers like would technically kind of excite me, but I don't actually want to bet on the Rangers. You know, like I don't. It's not going to be enjoyable.
I don't want a non-enjoyable bet. Yeah.
Mariners. I think what's not to like about the Mariners right now?
11 in a row, 48-42. Realizing some of the potential that a lot of bettors thought they had pre-flop in the season. I don't know. That's a tough one. That because I think Jason's point, your point is correct, Jason, which is check the yes nos on the playoffs, right? Rather than having them to, you know, you would hate to lose this and have them overshoot, right? And end up the second wild card, right? A long shot that's way out right now. So just check the yes nos on the playoffs and see if this bet even makes sense on both sides. But good on William Hill for offering it anyway, right? Nice.
Yeah.
Like that they
always
offer
better
it
to have more markets.
All right, Jeff, home run derby next. Home run derby. We got our field. What do you got?
The home run derby favorite right now. Only one book has it up. Oh, it just moved as we pulled it up on our screen. Pete Alonso, who opened at 2-1, is now +165.
I knew that was going to happen.
At FanDuel.
Yeah.
Schwarber's at +320. Soto at 6-1. Acuna Jr. at 7-1. Julio Rodriguez at 10-1. Corey Seager, 13-1. Jose Ramirez, 16-1. Albert Pujols now 22-1, Gil.
They should go longer.
Needs another zero.
All right. I wish I could bet on. Can I bet on what I think Jason is going to say?
Please.
All right. I'll make it -200 that you will either say Julio Rodriguez or Corey Seager.
My bet, you would not have predicted my bet just because, you know, I have very, very deep and intricate thoughts on the home run derby market. I have tons. We can spend an hour dissecting this event.
Please.
But if I did, some of my friends would be very, very upset with me that I was talking about all this stuff on air so candidly.
I see.
So my answer, I didn't plan on betting on Julio or Corey Seager, but, you know, I'd really like to get a whole bunch of money down and then come on and talk about this on Monday when Parles is hosting.
All right, there you go. There you go. You booked your first guest right there. Yeah, gotta get the money down. So
but I love the Home Run Derby. I used to bet stupid amounts of money on it. This year I won't. You know, I don't do that anymore. I'm more of an adult now. But
yeah,
well, this used to be a great event for
Jason.
You know,
you've grown up before our eyes. You have grown up before our eyes.
And I always say it's on a Monday, so you could, you know, bet all your money on a Monday. You still got the rest of the week to, you know.
So wait, get back to the Seager J-Rod thing for a second, because I'm trying to read between the lines. How did you phrase it? You didn't.
I wasn't planning on betting on either of them. And to be honest, I do have to look at the brackets because got to kind of get an idea.
Well, Seager's up against J-Rod. They play each other.
Okay, so yeah, that's unfortunate.
That is unfortunate.
You know, I do like both of them, mm-hmm. but I have to actually study the bracket and I need to look at the rules. Are there any funky rules, or, you know, like the corner ball in the 3-point contest is worth more? Are there any rules in the last minute, or home runs worth more or something? Got to read up on all of that before.
The money ball and the home run. Yes. If Pujols pulls his back, then everything stops. There are no funky rules as far as I know. Same rules going on. Okay.
Maybe he wins. I don't know, man.
Maybe that's who Jason's
I don't think so,
on.
But maybe.
No, that's not he's bet on. All right, he said he wasn't planning on betting on Seager or J-Rod. Trying to read between the lines there. Jason, intricate, deep thoughts on the Home Run Derby on Monday with Jeff Parlay. How about that?
Looking forward to it. I love the Derby. It's one of the highlights of, All-Star break.
His life. All right, thank you, Jason. Chris Felica next on College Football Week 1 next.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN will be broadcasting live all week still from NBA Summer League now through July 17th this weekend. Catch the edge with JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, and Matt Eumanns. 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific live from the NBA Summer League every weekday. We also have special guests, exclusive content, and live updates all throughout VSiN shows. For more, follow us at VSiN Live on Twitter and at VSiN Live on YouTube. The Kenjineer that we have here at VSiN, Kenjineer. He put together that desk, put together the set. Him and Dez did a great job out there. So check out The Edge again, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific from Summer League. Now in a major breach of this show's script that has had Seidenberg, Schwartz, and Weingarten, somehow Chris Felica has been allowed to enter the show. How you doing, Chris?
Well, I'm probably the only one of the bunch that has actually been to Israel this calendar year. So
yes.
Does that give me some type of special exemption?
You're in, baby. Chris Felica, everybody.
Perfect.
who was in the Holy Land less than a month ago from ESPN's Daily Wager, Stanford Steve at the Bear podcast, of course. And most notably, Game Day, the greatest thing ever. Can't wait. What season is this coming up for ESPN's College Game Day for you, Chris?
For me, 1996 was my first year with Kirk, so this will be what, year 27?
Wow.
If I'm doing that math correctly? How about that?
Year 27.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Now.
Wow.
Yep. It really is.
That's incredible.
It really is. To think back then how far the show has come. We were like an hour back then, not on the road every week, and now it's turned into the spectacle that it is. It's pretty cool.
Before we get to your week one college football thoughts, Open Championship right now, it's the Cam Show. Cam Smith, 11-under. Cam Young, 10-under. Both halfway through their second rounds. Who do you have in this tournament, pre-flop? What have you bet so far?
Yeah, man, pre-flop, I didn't do too much. Spieth was my big pre-flop, and he's probably not out of it, but he's going to need a lot of help over the weekend to get back in it. And then I sprinkled a little bit on some longer shots who aren't going to pan out, but yesterday I spent live betting Scheffler a good bit and live betting Rory a bit. So as long as one of those two can ultimately come out here ahead, I'll be okay. My my big plays basically were to make the cut. I laid some big prices with a lot of the obvious guys, and it looks like we'll be okay with all of those. So I didn't want to get too involved with the outrights early on. I'd rather take like plus 450 mid round on Rory than sweat it at 9-1 and maybe he doesn't get off to a good start. So I tried to mitigate some risk. I'm a little agitated because I did play DJ in the U.S. Open, so it looks like I might be one major off on his weekend contention run here.
I'm just getting a text from Reed Fowler, who is DraftKings, our friend from DraftKings, who's both their NFL and PGA analyst. And he just texted me. He goes, "I'm never publicly fading a golfer on your show again." I guess he did Matthew Fitzpatrick at the U.S. Open. Did he fade Cam Smith? Was that who he faded in this tournament? I have to ask him. I think he might have. So that's not. Oh no, I gotta ask him. That's not good. Okay, let's.
You know how that goes.
Oh, 100%. I mean, he does it all in great spirit. We're not making fun of Reed. That's golf, right?
Totally.
That's golf. It's just
exactly.
We've all been there. And, you know, the guy that you back that then wins the following week, of course. It's the old story with golf betting. Okay, week one, college football. You were kind enough to come on and talk some regular season wins with us earlier and obviously some conference odds as well. How about some week one games? We could just go through several of these. Let's start with Oregon and Georgia, week one in college football. Numbers are already out. You have some thoughts on this game?
Yeah, the number that I'm really curious about, though, isn't up. At least I haven't seen it up, and it probably won't get put up till around the week of the game. But I keep an eye when they put up the Oregon team total in this game. I think there are going to be a lot of reports about how the Georgia defense was decimated by the draft, and are they going to be as good? And yes, they were kind of decimated by the draft, and they had a ton of players go, but it was an incredibly deep unit last year. The best player on the defense last year was Jalen Carter, and he's back, as are the recruiting classes that they have lined up. So this is still going to be a very, very good Georgia defense, and we've seen Bo Nix at Auburn versus the Georgia defense, and we know how that story goes.
Yeah.
So if this is somewhere, I'm maybe guessing somewhere like the 17.5 range, somewhere around there, I might be looking at going to Oregon under. This is a really interesting game. I mean, it might be a dead under game to begin with because I think Oregon's defense, I think people are going to say, oh, you lose Mario as head coach, and you lose KT, and you lose a bunch of other guys, but this is still going to be a very good, but the Oregon front seven on defense versus the Georgia offensive line and runner, that's going to be a really good battle in its own right. So I think it's probably a dead under game, but I'm definitely very interested in the Oregon team total under.
Well, it's Georgia by 17, and the total is 51. So if you do the whole spread total conflation, that assumes a 34-17 win. Exactly. So it will be right around 17. So on a team total for Oregon. All right, let's go through a few more of these while we have you here. How about TCU and Colorado? What are your thoughts there?
It might right now be my favorite play of week one. Colorado's terrible. I mean, you lose your best offensive player. It's a team that's going to have no experience at quarterback. They're going to have immense difficulty, I think, scoring points this year. And obviously TCU with the coaching change, whoever winds up winning that quarterback job is going to have a very good wide receiver group to throw to. And I think TCU kind of comes out and names its number in this game. I've seen it. It's 7.5, and it's funny. There was a one shop in Connecticut, not Reed's DraftKings shop, but another one here that had TCU minus 7.5 plus 100, and I tried to get a nickel down, and they literally gave me $5.27. So I don't think they want my business anymore based on that reaction. But I've seen TCU minus 7.5. Yeah, exactly. Lots of fun. I was able to actually do play at DraftKings after that. So just laid the typical 110 as opposed to plus 100. So yeah, I like TCU a lot in this game. If nothing else, I think this number is going to go up. So if bare minimum, you'll probably get at least a candidate for the closing line value dumpster that our friend Mr. Sharapan likes to talk about all the time.
$5.27. TCU, by the way, favored by 7.5. So you'll lay the points here, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I will, yeah.
Okay. Very strong. You said his favorite bet of the week. Favorite bet of week one, TCU minus the points against Colorado. How about the Roadrunners? You love some UTSA against Houston, though. Houston's going to have themselves a season, aren't they?
They are, and I was surprised at number – What do you see? 4.5, 5, somewhere around there?
I will check.
Yeah, for 4.5, Chris.
4.5.
Excuse me. Yeah, that seems a little low to me. Again, I think this number might climb a little bit. I mean, as much as I loved UTSA last year, they do lose a lot of key performers from that team. And they were kind of fortunate last year. They were on the good side of a lot of close calls, a lot of close wins. So, like, they may not have been really as good as their record said they were, and they certainly helped us out a lot last year. But this Houston team, yeah, it's a road game, but I don't know how much of a road atmosphere it's going to be. I think there probably would be a pretty good bit of Houston fans who make that trip as well to see the game. And we talked about Houston. I'm very, very high on the Cougars this year, and I think that defensive line is going to give UTSA a bunch of problems. I don't think UTSA is at the point right now where you can just reload and fill in those big performers that they lost last year.
And as we said earlier, Houston has that Cincinnati feel this coming year. They got those kind of feels. Last one here. NC State, East Carolina, week one. What do you got there?
Yeah, I've seen 11.5, and this is a very, very dangerous game for NC State. They have all of the hype coming in, maybe the best team they've had, maybe Devin Leary is the best quarterback in the ACC, and you're going on the road to a place that doesn't get all these ACC or Power 5 teams coming in often. They've pulled some upsets in the past. Granted, it's obviously different years, different players, but ECU is a team that, with Holton Ahlers coming back, they're going to be able to score points. NC State, I think, is going to have a problem running the ball. Maybe it will manifest in this game, but you lose your best offensive lineman, you lose your best running back, and maybe somehow they'll overcome it, and maybe it'll be better this year. But I think Mike Houston has a really, really good team on the rise. This is a very dangerous game for North Carolina State. I would take ECU plus the points right now, maybe because of the hype train, this number might tick up a little bit because everybody's going to love NC State. So I would still take ECU if you could get 11.5 right now.
All right, East Carolina plus the points. But if you only could make one of those bets, it would be TCU laying the points.
TCU laying the points.
All right, Chris.
That's the only one I have made right now.
Land of milk and honey exemption. Thanks for coming on the show.
I appreciate that. You have a great vacation, my friend.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Chris Felica, everybody. At Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A on the Twitter machine. Game Day, Daily Wager, Stanford Steve, and the Bear Podcast. Still to come, Josh Towers. More from Parlay on the other side as well. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay here as well. We get tweets that beating the book. Chris Heath, yeah, Reed had Cam as the one he had to leave off his betting card. The question that I ask, who would induce the most self-loathing? Oh, man. Matt Grissom, at Grissom Tweets, he says, every time I hear Gil say Seidenberg, Schwartz, and Weingarten, I feel like he's doing an ad for a personal injury law firm that's ready to fight for me. Well, that's the main point there, isn't it, Matt Grissom, that they're ready to fight for you. It's a silver lining and all that. Josh Towers ready to fight for you. How you doing, Josh? Josh Towers, of course, VSiN's own. What's up, man?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing very well. I asked out loud. I was like, why wasn't Josh Towers part of the VSiN betting, baseball betting pentathlon? Do you know what Jeff Parlay said? Jeff, do you want to tell him what you said?
Not nice. Don't throw me under the bus. Yeah. Come on now.
I asked the same question.
Oh, you did ask the same question. Okay. Well, there you go.
Why wasn't I part of this?
Okay.
Well, it was Josh and Jason were the
Jason
were,
felt were left out, omissions. Too. Jason Weingart was like, really? They didn't call me for this? Yeah. He was a little upset.
Hey. Some people would have been in trouble. I had some good plays this week. So I've been listening in on some of the plays from other from all you guys, and
be nice.
Yeah, I would have done okay.
I would have done okay. By the way, there's no former major league player, no savant clause. That's why you and Jason were kept out of this.
Yeah,
not allowed. Not allowed.
No Mexican baseball league expert allowed.
That's right. You are not allowed if you are very savvy in random leagues around planet Earth. That's why Jason was kept out. All right, Josh, we are approaching the All-Star break. Let me just ask you this as a handicapper, as someone who, and by the way, that was the interesting thing for me about doing the baseball betting pentathlon is because I used to be a big baseball bettor. I've bet thousands of games. There were summers where that's all I did. I don't bet it as much anymore. So this was sort of a quick reminder for me, like, oh, I forgot about how absolutely miserable this can be, right, sitting through baseball games. But one of the, and I just want to give like a macro handicapping thing, and you're a former player, so you can really talk about this, which is, you know, Scott Seidenberg was on earlier on the show. He has expressed to me, when I was on the look ahead, he's expressed how moving into the All-Star break, his handicapping and his numbers kind of mess up. And I thought that was interesting because I always used to say that for me, even in my best seasons, after the All-Star break, the 2 weeks after the All-Star break is where things sort of go out of whack. Is there any logic that sort of resonates with you about either of those, either heading into or out of the All-Star break?
I think yours makes more sense. Like going into the All-Star break, teams are starting to plan for guys going to the All-Star game, so they're planning that. And we're all planning to go home or wherever we're going to go for a couple days. But, you know, those are easy flights to book. We have somebody we can ask to. We have family members. Like, nothing changes as far as this series and our preparation to get ready. We're not checked out at this point by any means. So, like, I never noticed a difference going into the All-Star break. You're still preparing the exact same way you would. Coming back from the All-Star break, like, depending on who you are and what you're doing, I can take a couple days off, needed or unneeded. I can skip some throwing, maybe not hit over the break. You kind of get in this comfort zone for 3 days of being back home or on vacation. And then it takes a couple days to get in the swing of it. But you're also giddy to be back. There's a lot of things. I can see the after the post All-Star break, the first series or two being a little bit different.
Yeah, it was always a little squirrely to me, and the numbers would go out the window. And then by the time August rolled around, we kind of get back into shape.
We start separating ourselves.
I thought about you when I was watching Shohei the other night. Shohei on the hill, another phenomenal performance. His consecutive scoreless streak of unearned runs did get snapped at 32. Other than that, he was just ridiculous. And, oh, by the way, two RBI double as well in that ball game. And so I just, you know, you were a Major League Baseball starting pitcher. Your entire life, I don't want to reduce your life to one thing, but your entire sort of aim was to hone this craft and make the show. And you did. And what a life accomplishment it was. And then here's this dude, Josh, who does everything. You must, more than any of us who have bets on it or who don't, you must marvel at that and just say to yourself, that's out of control.
Yeah, there's I mean, Shohei, like, you're welcome. I mean, there's a lot of people that can just say that to him, right? Like, and it's true. Like, we lived on a beach. My dad made surfboards. Like, we wanted to surf every day, but, like, I was just addicted to baseball, and what you just said was accurate. Like, I sacrificed so many things to, like, see if you could accomplish this, and who knows if it was going to happen. It just, you know, kind of got lucky, but those are the sacrifices you make, and when we were doing this, and even this more recent generation after me, like, a lot of these guys can do both. They really, really can. But we know that here, and we've always been told we're not allowed to do both. So once you get drafted, you have to pick a sport. My dad even asked the scout when I signed with the Orioles. He goes, so does he still get to play shortstop when he's not pitching? He had no idea. And this guy's like, nah, Butch, he's just a pitcher now. and it's kind of funny. But, you know, Shohei was like, listen, I won't come over here. Like, I'll just stay in Japan and play. And they're like, no, we need you. You can do both. So there's a lot of guys that kind of, you know, sacrifice some things to pave the way for what he's doing. And I just think it's fantastic. I mean, it just proves that, like, you can't handcuff us into thinking we can only do one thing in life and in sports. And I'm so happy that he's doing this. You know, obviously at the elite level that he's doing, it's unbelievably remarkable knowing the sacrifices that it takes to be good at one position, knowing the things that Roy Halladay went through to be the best in the game every day. Like, zero of us were willing to put the work in that he did. And this guy's doing it to be both. It's just unbelievably impressive.
Yeah. I lived down the hall in San Francisco. I used to live down the hall from Jesse Foppert, had a cup of coffee with the Giants in the early 2000s. And he ended up have Tommy John. I remember he blew out his arm, and I just felt so awful for him because his entire life, you know, had just been about this. And he was the nicest. Yeah. He is the nicest dude in the world. And I just thought about, you think about how Shohei has gotten to where he has and all of the thousands of other guys who dedicated their craft to this. So at for the betting side of this now, he is the favorite to win the AL MVP. That shifted over the last week. Would you advise, I know, right? Like, hey, finally, right? Would you advise people to bet it now? At like minus 120-ish or whatever it is, minus, what do you say, like anywhere between like minus 105, minus 125, somewhere in that pocket, would you bet it?
Yeah, I mean, well, listen, you know me on this show.
We even have a plus 110 here at BetMGM, pardon me.
Yeah, I've been telling everybody for a very long time that Shohei Ohtani is impossible. He doesn't win MVP. And that's a big word, but I mean, this is how we are, right? We're always late to the party. It's never good enough until it's not, and then we want to jump on it. I mean, with these odds for things like this, like it's the season long odds. I mean, at your own risk, and that's why plus money is such a big deal when you're taking different players. I mean, pre-flop, it was always, you know, him, Trout, and for me, Yordan Alvarez. And I know everybody got hype on this Aaron Judge thing. And listen, it's just the media. He is having a great year. His numbers are beautiful, but he's in a massive slump. And what happens when you go in a massive slump when you do one thing and you got a guy over there on the West Coast doing two things? It's very, very difficult. And then Yordan Alvarez, who I think is a beast, you know, he hits the stint on the IL for a little bit with the hand problem. And so that sets him back. And again, all it takes for Shohei Ohtani to win MVP is to finish the season. I mean, in my opinion, that's all it takes. And then he's going to go ahead and add what he's doing now. And then what if Shohei misses a month for some odd reason, right? Then is he out of the race? So I like, for me, when we're jumping on these odds, I like the plus monies. And if you didn't get them the last month or two when everybody was on the Judge hype, then you might be late to the party with the good price.
Is there any possibility that the Astros say to themselves, you know, well, I mean, now I guess the Mariners are somewhat in the rear view, right, with their 11-game winning streak. But is there any possibility that the Astros might say to themselves, well, look, despite the fact that the Mariners have won 11 in a row, we still have an 11-game lead. We don't really need to rush Yordan back. We need him in the postseason. Why don't we just take the time? Is there a possibility that they might have that thinking and keep him out for an extended period?
Yeah, I think with some teams like Mets, there's always that thought process. And again, it's just the evaluation of the injury. I mean, what is it and how serious is it? There's some injuries like a hamstring or something, as minor as that sounds, like don't rush that. Because if you rush that at all, it's just going to bother you the rest of the year. As far as the hand thing, I mean, as soon as it heals, he's ready to go. It's not a big deal. So, yeah, they'll be cautious because of how good he is. But they're afforded this luxury. I mean, Seattle's had to win 11 games in a row to get within 11 games of the division lead.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just insane. And then this Astros pitching staff, that's the true separation. I mean, Altuve just went down. I don't know how minor it is with his knee, but the separation of this pitching staff from the rest of baseball, I mean, they're 1-2 bullpen starters with like the Yankees and maybe Tampa. Like, it's just, that's their real value is that staff. And those guys are all healthy. So, I mean, this team's fine.
That starting rotation is ridiculous. All right. Yeah. We only have 30 seconds. What's your favorite bet of the day, sir? What do you like?
Well, the Alcantara line might be a little bit high, right?
What do you see? What are you seeing, Jeff, on Alcantara?
Yeah, he -165. Ooh, it's a big price.
I don't even know. I mean, I don't even know yet what I really like. But the Orioles have won 10 in a row. I know that.
It's excellent, excellent insight, Josh. We appreciate that. All right. Well, Alcantara, so -165, too steep for you, is what you're saying.
No, the Phillies are in shambles after what they did going to Toronto, how disrespectful that was to the team. I like the Marlins today.
Okay, all right. Willing to lay the wood on that. Josh, appreciate it, man. Thank you, as always.
Take care, boys. Thank you.
Josh Towers at No Don't Josh on the Twitter machine. See, I almost threw you under the bus, Jeff, and then I stopped short of it. You get that? How we did a little shift in the middle there? Do I get credit for that? No?
See, we were close.
His mind went somewhere else. He's not even thinking about it anymore.
Hey, Josh was very fun today.
Yeah, great guy. All right, coming back, wrapping things up. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? Well, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay in the house. Again, Open Championship update as they're on the back stretch now. Well, not everybody, but we're certainly towards the business end, if you will, of the second round of the Open Championship, the 150th Open Championship. Nice round number. It's St. Andrews. Cameron Smith, through 12, is 11 under par. He's got the one-stroke lead over Cameron Young. Cam Young is through 10. He's 10 under for the tournament. By the way, Cam Smith, 6 under for the day in the lead. Among those birdies, Jeff, a 40-foot birdie putt and a 30-foot birdie putt. Is that good?
Ooh, that's not bad. It's not bad, Gil.
That from Reed Fowler, who, yes, when I asked him the famous question of which golfer would induce the most self-loathing in you if you won the tournament before the U.S. Open, he said Matthew Fitzpatrick. Here he said Cameron Smith. So Reed, you know how it goes. DJ, two back in the clubhouse, 9 under. Scheffler and Tyrrell Hatton. That's you and me right there, Jeff. Scheffler and Hatton, respectively, with our bets. Both three back now at 8 under par for the tournament. Taylor Gooch, Adam Scott, Patrick Cantlay, and Sahith Theegala, along with Rory, all 7 under, 4 back. Rory's through 5, so Rory has plenty of golf on the day still to be played. Where did Zalatoris end up? Did he make up any ground? Is he even going to make the cut, my other guy? I only had two out.
One over through 4.
So he is on the outside looking in. Max Homa, what happened to Homa? He's one over. Did he have a bad round?
Homa's done.
Oh, he's even for the day, yeah, so he's done.
He's done.
He done. He gone, we think. If the, yeah, because certainly not going backwards, right? How about Colin Morikawa only even on this tournament through 5 here in round number 2? He's got some golf to be played. Other notables, Brooks Koepka even for the tournament through 12, second round through 12. John Daly even in his second round through 12 holes, among others. And I don't know if you had a piece of, you know, some other players that we've heard sort of anecdotally this week, because we had Dave Tindall on, we had Wes Reynolds on briefly, we had obviously Brady Cannon among the golf experts. Joaquin Niemann, 1 under, he's in the clubhouse, so he right now is making the cut. Paul Casey, one of the latest to announce that he's headed to the LIV Tour, 1 under for the tournament through 2 rounds. Danny Willett, who I know Brady liked a lot, 2 under halfway through his second round. DeChambeau, 2 under. Yeah, everybody. I mean, that's a long way back now, though. If you're 2 under, you know, Hideki's 3 under, but he's early in a second round. I guess what I'm saying is, let's say Cam Smith ends this round 11 under. He's still got 6 holes to play, but let's just say it ends with a leader at 11 under. How far back can you be to have a realistic shot at this, do you think? They're scoring.
Well, remember, as always with this tournament, if the wind kicks up at the wrong time, you can get some very different looking scores very quickly.
Yeah.
I would say you probably need to be within 5. If you're within 5, you still got a puncher's chance here, and maybe even 6. Again,
I didn't say, I mean, look at this just today,
yeah,
right? Cam Smith, 6 under. Tyrrell Hatton, 6 under. Adam Scott, 7 under. He's the low round for the day. But Matt Fitzpatrick, 6 under. I mean, it goes on and on. A bunch of 5 unders as well. So, I mean, these guys are killing this course. Sergio had a 6 under today. He went from 3 over to 3 under for the tournament. I didn't even realize Sergio was killing there. But in a bunch of 5 unders. So, I know it's anybody's tournament still, but Cam Smith, 1-stroke lead over Cam Young at the top with DJ, the low mark in the clubhouse right now, 9 under. Okay. You and Jason will be talking at length about the Home Run Derby on Monday.
Apparently so.
Once this tournament, once the Open Championship clears, it's the All-Star break. It is really the sports nadir of the season. Like, it is the bottom of the whole thing. But you do have the Derby on Monday. You'll be talking a lot about NFL previews over the next couple of weeks, Jeff. You've got that planned for people. But as far as the Derby's concerned, maybe the most star-studded Derby of them all that you ever remember?
It's as good as it is, as I can remember, period. I mean, you have a Hall of Famer in Pujols, who obviously is in his last season. First ballot, should be unanimous, but won't be because baseball writers. And then you have seven guys who are stars. I know people might not consider Schwarber there, but Schwarber might lead the league in homers this year.
Oh, for sure he might.
So you got an unbelievable field, and it's interesting because they I believe the seeding is based off total home runs for the season, not just random seeding. That's why Schwarber right now, he is the one seed. He gets Albert Pujols in the first round, which is a great draw for Kyle Schwarber. Alonso, who has won this event back-to-back times now, got the two seed, but his reward is Ronald Acuna Jr. in the first round, Gil.
Yeah, Seager gets Julio Rodriguez, 3-6, and Juan Soto and Jose Ramirez, the 4-5 bracket. Interesting. So, I don't know, again, the odds on this, always check. But right now, Alonso south of 2-1. Alonso, who's trying to win his third home run derby in a row, and this clearly seems to mean a lot to him. And he also, remember how we always said, oh, you don't want to be in the home run derby, it'll mess up your swing, right? We had players that had that. It doesn't have any effect on Alonso, seemingly.
Not in 2019. It did for a little bit last year, but for a guy who's won it twice, it seems to be okay that he's participating in this.
None of these guys seem scared about it, or their teams, apparently. I think I would take, at the number, what was Julio Rodriguez's number?
He is 10-1.
I think I might take a flyer on him. Though, Corey Seager could knock him out first round easy, but I wouldn't be surprised.
So second derby for Seager as well. Seager did not advance in his first Derby.
Seager did like 2016 or something. Like,
yeah, it was his rookie year. Whatever is his rookie year. I think he was a rookie 2017.
Yep.
But that he was in it once. Soto obviously is a repeat. Acuna is a repeat. Schwarber is a repeat. The first Derby for Jose Ramirez, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah. So just looking at the way the bracket splits up, there is a legitimate argument to be made that the two people that I would be most willing to bet are actually facing each other in the first round, in Alonso and Acuna Jr. So you look to the opposite side of the bracket. It's just a question of how short is too short on Kyle Schwarber. Because Kyle Schwarber, again, no disrespect to Albert since he's a future Hall of Famer, Kyle Schwarber has a bye to the second round here, Gil.
He probably does.
So you're already advancing one round.
I hit this one year. I hit the Justin Morneau year, which was the year that Josh Hamilton hit like the 28
yes,
in the first round.
Yes, that was the most ridiculous one of all time.
Yeah.
Yankee Stadium, 2008.
I'm going to go back to the Jason Weingarten segment. I'm going to predict. I have no knowledge of this. This is just a prediction. I have no knowledge of this. I have a feeling he's going to come back with the, as long as Pete Alonso's in plus money, don't overthink this. Just bet Pete Alonso. I think that is a very reasonable take. By the way, I know we're like, oh, but he's so short. Okay, would you rather have Pete Alonso at plus 165 to win the Derby, or would you rather have like the Tigers on a given night at plus 165 against somebody else? You tell me.
I'd rather have Alonso.
100%, right?
Than the Tigers. The only interesting thing is, again, you're talking about a bigger ballpark here in Dodger Stadium. Last year, obviously, was Coors, which doesn't matter that it's a farm out there in the outfield. Ball travels ridiculously.
Prairie.
And then it was in Cleveland when Alonso won in 2019, which has the giant wall in left field. Didn't matter for Alonso. So I think I'm with you. I think as long as you just don't psych yourself out over a short price in an 8-person event, you bet Alonso, and if someone beats you, you tip your hat and move to the next bet.
Yep, think so. You going to bet the All-Star game? Please say no.
Absolutely not.
Thank you. Okay.
Unbettable.
That was gonna. We were gonna take you off of Tuesday or Wednesday's show if you had said yes to that. Some people will bet it though. Some people bet the Pro Bowl, for goodness sakes. But I would not endorse that. I'm out. I'm out for 2 weeks. Jeff Parlay will be here. Whole bunch of NFL previews from division to division. Starting with the NFC East, do you think? What are you starting with?
I'm pretty sure we're starting. We're doing the NFC next week and the AFC the week after that.
It's all planned out for you, including Home Run Derby Talk with Jason on Monday. Appreciate it to everybody. Again, congratulations to Mitch and Paul on the MLB betting pentathlon win. That was fun. I hope we do that again here at VSiN. The Sports Betting Network. Lombardi Line is next with Dave Ross. Enjoy.